Who doesn't love the smell of fresh baked bread in their home? But more than that, who doesn't love the savings that baking your own bread has when you easily pay $3 to $4 a loaf or more at the store? Not to mention you're getting better nutrition. I probably don't have to convince you of the benefits of homemade bread, but maybe your bigger question is, how do I start making my own bread? This can be a big learning curve for beginner bread bakers if it's your very first time making bread. So today I want to share some hacks for fail-proof nutritious bread for complete beginners. We're going to cover some bread baking basics, tools you do and don't need, and tips for how to incorporate bread baking into your schedule as a busy mom. If you're ready to start making your own bread or just move past basic white sandwich loaves, listen in because there is so much to learn today. Hey mama, welcome to the Farm Family Table, where you can find encouragement and practical tips for living the healthy homesteading life that God is calling you to. Hi, I'm Jocelyn, farm wife and mom of two littles. I know that you want to provide the best food for your family while being more self-reliant. And I believe there's a way to start homesteading with less stress, more joy, and more time focusing on what matters most, faith and family. Want to learn how? Join me as we build our homesteads together. So pop in those earbuds and start that load of laundry because we're about to dive in. Hey ladies, I know it can feel so overwhelming to try and juggle raising babies and learning a new skill like bread making. That's why, before we jump into today's topic, I want to tell you about our free resource for beginner homestead moms like you. You can find easy-to-follow, step-by-step tutorials for the recipes discussed on today's show and more over at our website, farmfedfamily.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our email list for access to new recipes and exclusive content. So I see more and more people getting interested in bread baking, which is awesome, but a lot of times they just don't really know where to start, or they jump in and just end up with a huge flop, which is okay. I like to say failing upward is part of homesteading. You learn from your mistakes and you just keep going. But today I want to lay some groundwork to set you up for success in your bread baking journey. And I also want to help you level up the nutrition in your homemade bread by incorporating some helpful hacks. I specifically want to focus on sharing how to bake whole grain bread, even for a complete beginner. White bread made with bread flour or all-purpose flour is the easiest thing to start with. It's the most forgiving. You can do it right out of the gate and end up with a perfect loaf of bread, but it's also the most void of nutrients. Whole grains, on the other hand, provide more fiber, vitamins, minerals. They also help control your blood sugar better. So for overall gut health, I would encourage you to start shifting to more whole grains. And even if that means compromising initially and making loaves that are 50-50, 50% bread flour or all-purpose flour and 50% some type of whole grain. I typically use just whole wheat, but you can also experiment with rye or spelt or things like that if you're interested in some of those more novelty types of grains. So as you're probably going to be able to tell, I'm pretty passionate about bread baking. I've been baking whole grain bread for about 10 years now, and I've definitely had my fair shares of ups and downs. Flat loaves, dense loaves, dry loaves, you name it. It seems like anything that can go wrong will go wrong, and I've seen it all. Whole grains are a challenge, but with the right recipe, you can make excellent bread for your family, and it adds so much wholesome nutrition over just plain white bread. And when I was first starting out learning to make bread, I actually was lucky enough to learn to bake from my dad. Not having to start out as being 100% self-taught and just relying on YouTube was so helpful, because bread baking, it isn't just something exact that you can follow out of a recipe book. You kind of have to feel your way, depending on the temperature, the humidity, your altitude. Things are going to vary a little bit in the recipe. And so your bread might end up too dry. It might end up taking way longer to rise than what you thought. And having someone there in person that can kind of guide you through that, at least for the very first time, is really helpful. So I would just encourage you, you know, there are so many good resources that you can find online, but I would encourage you to find someone in person that you know that makes their own bread and just go visit them, shadow them for an afternoon, have them show you what they do. And it doesn't matter what kind of bread they make, a lot of the process is still the same. But having that in-person experience can make a big difference when it comes to getting started in your own kitchen. You have that understanding of how things are supposed to go, how that dough is supposed to feel, what it should look like once it rises, what it should look like after it's baked. And because of that, you can have a little bit more confidence once you start baking on your own in your own kitchen. So I have three bread baking hacks that I want to share with you guys today. But before I do that, I do want to lay a foundation of knowledge when it comes to yeast breads. So for the purpose of today's episode, we are going to be talking primarily about yeast breads made with commercial active dry yeast versus a wild cultured starter like you would use in sourdough bread. I plan on doing a future episode on sourdough. We love sourdough, but that's not where I'm going to be starting for today's episode. I don't necessarily recommend sourdough to someone who's completely new to bread baking, just because sourdough is a little bit more complex and time intensive. And I want to be able to set you up to have success that very first time for you to have a really good understanding of the bread baking process before you move on to something that's a little bit harder. So getting into the basic method for making yeast breads, and this is really any kind of yeast bread across the board where you're using the active dry yeast. Your first step is going to be to activate the yeast. Yeast needs to be activated in a warm liquid, so sometimes it's water, sometimes it's milk, depending on the recipe, for a few minutes before adding the other ingredients. Yeast likes warm temperatures, which is why the water needs to be warm. You don't want it to be cold, you don't want it to be hot. Also, adding a small amount of sugar during this time can also promote activation. It'll make the yeast nice and bubbly because it's giving it something to feed off of. Once your yeast is nice and active, then you typically add your ingredients. So this will vary depending on the recipe. Usually there's an oil, sugar, flour, and salt. You're going to mix those and then knead the dough. You want to add just enough flour that the dough pulls away from the bowl and it's not sticky, but you want to be careful that you're not adding too much so the flour is dry. And a good recipe will tell you that, but it's important to note that when you're adding in your flour, when you're first mixing it, you don't want to add in all the flour right away. You add it in gradually, because the humidity of your environment will depend how much flour needs to be in that bread. If you dump it in all right away and your environment is dry, you're going to end up with some really dry, dense loaves. Kneading is a crucial step in the bread making process. Kneading helps the dough to develop gluten, which gives the bread its rise and its structure. Dough should be kneaded until it's smooth and elastic, and this can take anywhere from 8 to 10 minutes, even up to 15. Usually it's around that 10 minute mark in my mixer. Once it's done kneading, you can shape and proof the dough. So basically that means put it in pans and let it rise. So if you're using standard sandwich loaf pans, if you're going to do buns, if you're going to bake it in cast iron pans, this is the time where you shape it how you want it, you put it in that pan, and then you let it sit in a warm place, cover it with a towel so it doesn't dry out, and you let it rise. And this is the part that really depends on the temperature of the environment, because the warmer it is, the faster that bread is going to rise. I know in the winter, it takes a lot longer for my bread to rise because our kitchen is usually pretty cool. It's sitting at about that 68 degree mark. And so I usually have to tack on like another at least 30 to 45 minutes for that bread to rise because the environment is cooler. After the bread has about doubled in size, you put it in the oven to bake it, and that's basically any yeast bread recipe in a nutshell. I will have the link to the sandwich bread that my family eats in the show notes. It's a 100% whole wheat sandwich bread recipe. I'll put that in there for you to reference. You can go ahead and try it out. If you have any questions, you can post it in the comments on the recipe page or over in our Facebook community group. I would be more than happy to help troubleshoot any issues that you might be having. Like I said, I'm pretty passionate about baking bread, and teaching yourself to bake is not easy. You need to have a friend or somebody beside you that you can kind of go off of when you're first learning, because there are going to be little hiccups and bumps along the way. Okay, so now that we have the groundwork kind of out of the way, I want to give you my 3 hacks for baking healthy bread at home. Hack number 1 is my secret weapons for fluffy whole grain bread. I know most people who bake white bread at home, their biggest reason for doing it is they prefer the texture over whole wheat bread. Like I said, white bread, bread flour, all-purpose flour, it's a little bit easier to work with. You're going to get a fluffier rise. The bread is going to be softer, and we've kind of come to prefer that because that's what most commercial bread is like. But I have 2 secret weapons that can give you amazing rise to your whole wheat bread and totally convert your white bread eating family into whole grain lovers. So the first ingredient is vital wheat gluten. Gluten is the protein in the wheat, which is what gives the bread its structure. Whole wheat flour is actually high in protein already, but part of the whole wheat kernel, the bran, has sharp edges after being ground, and it can actually cut down the gluten strands as you knead the bread, which is why whole wheat bread tends to bake up dense, even though the whole wheat flour is high in protein. But adding gluten does increase the overall protein in the bread, which can counteract some of the damage that the bran does while kneading the bread. The bran that I like to use is called Bob's Red Mill, and you can buy it a few different places online. I know Amazon has it. I typically buy it through Vitacost because when they run their deals, I can get a really good price for it, and I just stock up. It's basically a flour, so you can store it in your pantry with your other flours, and it does last a long time. My second secret ingredient is just white vinegar. So this is probably something you already have in your house already. What this does is it increases the acidity of the dough, and it gives the yeast a little bit of a boost to create a lighter dough and help it to rise just a little bit more. There's really nothing special about the second ingredient. Just add anywhere from a teaspoon to a tablespoon during mixing, and it just gives it that little extra boost that it needs to give you that fluffier loaf of bread. All right, moving on to hack number 2, which is all about getting the right equipment. So an essential part of the bread making process is kneading. I know some people find kneading by hand really therapeutic, and that's fine if that's something you really enjoy, but I would recommend equipment to speed up the process, especially if you're a busy mom, you're pinched on time, you have a hard time finding a way to incorporate bread baking into your daily routines and rhythms. A good mixer just speeds things up so much, and it ensures that your dough is fully kneaded properly. A lot of times if you're kneading by hand, you're not kneading long enough for that dough to really get the proper gluten structure that it needs. A couple minutes of hand kneading is not going to cut it. Like I said, it takes anywhere from that 8 to 10 minutes to knead the dough. If you're doing it by hand, you're probably looking at like at least 15 minutes of hand kneading, which is fairly labor intensive as well. If you've ever kneaded dough, you're going to get a little bit of workout fully kneading your dough every time. So you have a couple different options here for equipment. You can go with a stand mixer. I absolutely love my Bosch that is older than the hills. It's a 1960 something model, and it is still going strong. So I hope that baby just keeps trucking along, because new mixers are really expensive, but I work with what I've got. You know, if I did have to buy a new one, I probably would buy a Bosch again, just because this thing is going on like 60 years, which is incredible. The other brand that I would recommend if you did not want to go with a Bosch would be a KitchenAid. That's another one that's really popular. I know stand mixers are expensive, so if that's something that you just feel like you can't afford, I would say look for something used, first of all. And then if you can't find anything used, go for something a little bit more basic and plan to sell and upgrade later. And you do kind of have to think when you're buying this mixer, this is an investment for you and your kitchen. You know, it might seem like a big cost up front, but over time, as you save money on buying bread, that mixer is paying for itself. But the thing that I really don't want to happen is I don't want not having a fancy mixer stop you from baking bread. So do what you can, whether it's buying used, whether it's buying a basic cuisine art model, whether it's borrowing from a friend for a while, whatever you can do to dip your toes in and to get started and save up for that stand mixer, because it will pay for itself over time. Another option that I want to talk about is a bread machine. A bread machine does so much work for you. It mixes the bread rises in the bread machine, it bakes the bread for you. You can set it, forget it, and it just makes the process really simple. For me personally, I don't use a bread machine. It's not my favorite. I prefer to do it myself. I feel like you do get a little bit more optimal texture to your bread when you are paying attention to those details in each part of the step. And I do like to bake a lot of other items like buns and rolls. So when I make those in my mixer, then I take them out and shape them. But if you want to focus on sandwich bread and you feel like you don't have time, you need something super easy, a bread machine might just be your thing. And don't be afraid to ask around and see if you have a friend or somebody you know that you could just borrow their bread machine and try it out and see if that's something that fits into your family's routine a little bit better. Or even check your local library. More and more libraries are having a library of things where you can actually check out small appliances or tools, and that can be a great resource for you to test out some of these things that I'm talking about before you actually go and invest in buying the real thing. All right, and the last hack I want to share for you, hack number 3, is creating a baking schedule. If you are a busy mom, bread baking is a pipe dream unless you consciously make it happen. You're gonna have to schedule in time that you want to bake that bread. And I talked about this a lot in episode number 7, which is 5 meal prep tricks to cook from scratch all week. If you haven't listened to that episode, take a listen. There's some really great tips in there. But what I said in that episode was, think of the bread products your family commonly eats and how often you eat them, and then set a schedule of how often you need to bake depending on how much your family eats. So I'm going to give you some examples from my family. Right now my family is on a sourdough kick, so that's what we eat most of, along with wheat buns and my whole wheat sandwich bread. So I typically bake sourdough once a week. I make 2 loaves, we eat one fresh, and then I freeze one, and then we thaw it midweek and eat it after that first one is already gone. So I have that in my schedule. I know once a week I'm going to bake sourdough bread, and I'm going to make enough that I only need to bake once that week because I'm freezing half, knowing that we're going to eat that second loaf during the second half of the week. For buns, I typically do it once a month. I make a big batch. It's about 32 buns. I freeze them all. They're super easy to thaw as needed. So if we're gonna have burgers or sliders or whatever it is, I can just pull out what we need for that night and the rest stay in the freezer for a later time. For sandwich bread, I typically bake sandwich bread about once a month. Because I'm doing so much sourdough right now, I usually only make about 2 loaves and freeze them. Then when I wanna make sandwiches, I can pull out individual slices and thaw them for that. If I wasn't doing the sourdough, I would definitely be baking a lot more of that because we'd also be eating that as our regular bread with meals. but it really just depends on how much your family eats and how much you want to be baking. Before we started to get into sourdough, I still only baked my sandwich bread about once a month, but I would bake 4 loaves at a time. And then at that time, we didn't have as many kids, but we would eat about a loaf of bread per week. So each week I would be able to thaw out a loaf of bread for us. So plan days in your month that you can dedicate to baking. And even if you have a really busy schedule, you can find one day to crank out 4 loaves of bread and a batch of buns and just put them all in the freezer, and then you can have them when you need them. This allows you to eat healthy homemade bread all the time by batching your work, and then you avoid having to bake fresh bread when you're short on time. So in summary of all this, if you haven't started bread baking or are currently making just white sandwich bread, I would encourage you to try switching to whole grains using the 2 secret weapon ingredients that we talked about. Again, our recipe can be found in the show notes. Think about what kind of equipment would work best for you and your price point. Make a schedule to keep yourself consistent. Use your freezer to cut corners as much as you need to. Homemade bread doesn't always have to be fresh baked. Even though that's delicious, we're busy, we're moms, we have tiny humans running around and tearing apart our houses. If you bake bread even once a month, you are doing great for your family. Okay, ladies, I hope today's episode encouraged you that you can make healthy whole grain bread at home, even as a total beginner. Try out our 3 hacks for success in your bread baking journey, and don't be afraid to send us your questions. I would love nothing more than being able to connect with you and talk bread. It's one of my favorite topics. Thanks for tuning in today, and we'll see you next week. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that you leave this episode encouraged in Christ and equipped with practical knowledge for your homestead. If that's you, will you take 30 seconds right now to leave a written review on Apple Podcasts? Your review blesses me so much and helps other mamas find this podcast and start their homesteading journey. Thanks for joining me. I can't wait to talk to you next week.